I wish you a wonderful good morning. Nice to have you with us again. And let us start this beautiful day with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this gift that you gave us of life. Thank you that we are alive. Thank you that we have another opportunity to start this day with you, and we want to value it and appreciate it. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. And especially thank you for your Holy Spirit that wants to teach us right now. Amen. Around Christmas, we are oftentimes, or many people are more often for supernatural stories. And if you think about the Santa Claus, many children, they are really looking forward that he visits them. But if you think it a little bit through, you really realize that guy needs to be supernatural. Because if you think, and if you calculate a little bit, if you think that on this earth we have more than 2 billion children, and let's say only in Christian countries, families celebrate Christmas, so you have around 400 million children that he needs to visit in 24 hours in one day. So he really needs to hurry up. And if you would say in the average, you have 4 children per household, if you look at worldwide, you have 100 million households that he needs to visit in one day. And that is really a much task to do. And so if you have 24 hours, he really needs to, he really has a big distance to drive or to fly, we do not even know. And you could say that he has an average of 1 kilometer between each house, so he needs to really to travel 100 million kilometers. And that, of course, he needs to have a big speed. Because if he flies with 1,000 kilometers per second, that, by the way, is 3,000 times the speed of light, his reindeers, they really get really hot because of the air. And he needs to carry such a weight that's really astounding. Because if you think you have 400 million children and each child maybe gets a gift of maybe 500 grams, so he really has to carry quite a lot. And he needs about 200,000 reindeers to carry all the weight. So it's really supernatural. I think we can be sure about that. And in the Bible today, we want to look at the Christmas story and also look at two different situations where people had supernatural encounters. And you are invited to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, where we find a story that I listened to this week very, very often, and I really love it. And we jump right into the story in verse 13, and we have here Zechariah and his wife praying for many, many years for a child. And we do not know if they prayed really in the last months or years, but there was a time when they prayed much about having a child. And it was not allowed to them. But suddenly, when Zechariah was serving as a priest in the temple, something happened. And we read in verse 13 how the angel talked to him. And it says here, Luke 1:13, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John.'" I jump to verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." In verse 20, "And now you will be silent." So the angel is now speaking, "You will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." My first aspect that we learned this morning is hope does not see just earthly limitations and problems. Hope does see more than the circumstances that are so challenging right now. We have Zechariah here, and he's bound to what he can look at his body, or what he can look on the calendar, how old he is. So he tries to explain the angel why it's not really possible or wise to do what the angel explained to do. And we see that Zechariah is living just in his 3D little world and is not expecting that the angel could speak about something supernatural. And as if he would say, angel, how did you come here, by the way? Who'd let you in? Which door is open here? So he's not really in the realm of how God works in a supernatural way. And we find here that he's purely earthly and soulish. His perspective is just what is possible with my power, with my age, and not really the perspective that God has. And we see in the next verse that he stays in the temple for some minutes or some hours, we do not know. We just read that people are waiting outside. So we see that this encounter and the words the angel said to him, he really has to digest them a little bit because it was too tough for them, realizing that he will get a son, realizing that an angel was standing there who could have had the power to kill him, and now not being able to speak, we see that this really was very, very challenging for him. And he goes home with two homeworks. He should help that his wife gets pregnant, and he's obedient in that. And his second homework is he should call his son with a special name, the name John. He also does that. But we see that, I imagine that he, when he talked to Luke, that he really said, Luke, that time when I look back now, it was really a blessed time for me. Because we read in the beginning of Luke, we read that Luke was visiting all the people and asking them face to face, talking to them and asking and taking notes what they said. Because Luke himself, of course, was not there present. But he visited Mary, he visited Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he asked them, what did the angel say to you? How was it for you? And so with all his notes, he wrote the gospel. And I imagine, it's not in the Bible, but I imagine that when Luke was sitting down with Zechariah was told him, I'm so happy about that month that I had, because not only my wife, her belly was getting bigger and stronger, but my heart learned so much listening, not just better to my wife, but listening better to God. And I imagine that this was a very special time for Zechariah, because we see in the end, after those 9 months, when he started to speak, he was full of worship, full of praise, full of thankfulness to God. So this was not a punishment, and Zechariah was sad for 9 months, being angry and pitying himself why he had not the privilege of speaking. But he was full of thankfulness. And this is so precious if we have challenging times. Sometimes we ask so quickly, why me, God? Why is always me? It was so funny. On Sunday night, I was lying in bed and I was thinking, oh, thank God. We as a family, we were healthy and not having any sickness for a long time now. What was on the next morning? My son was getting a really good fever. And I was wondering, oh, should I not thank God for health? So in the next morning, some of us will be sick. And then, of course, I prayed for healing. And then the next day, it even got worse. So sometimes we start our day or our way with God, and it looks like it even gets worse. And maybe Zechariah thought, I am encountering God. I even have a supernatural encounter. And afterwards, I am more miserable than before. Sometimes it gets a little bit tough, and sometimes it's challenging. But something that I think afterwards Zechariah learned was that if I invest something into God's kingdom, it is challenging. But in the end, I will be always the winner. It does not mean that there are no fights, no challenges, but it means that I'm walking with God and doing just what I am supposed to do. And this is so challenging and so precious. Yeah. The second thing we read about Mary. 6 months later, we see that the angel comes to Mary. And it's so interesting, if you compare the verses that Gabriel said to Zechariah, they are so different to the words that he says to Mary. Because we see when he talks to Mary, he says hello, and then five things he says how much God appreciates and loves her. It's so interesting. We read in verse 28 and 30, we read that the angel says, the angel went to her and said, greetings. So first time he says, hello, how are you? And now he starts five times, you are highly favored. Then the Lord is with you. In verse 30, but the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So four or five times he says how much God loves her. He tries to encourage her. And I imagine that when Gabriel started in heaven, God called him and said, Gabriel, come here for a second and sit down and listen carefully. Because this now is the most important assignment that I have for you in all times. So sit down, take careful notes that you do not miss anything. And God shares his heart about Mary. And I imagine God and Gabriel, they looked down from heaven. They were watching Mary, and God was so fascinated about Mary. God really, really loved Mary. And we see that the angel talked to Zechariah, and he was, hello, and now do not be afraid, but I have a command for you. But with Mary, it was different. With Mary, he said, hello. And then he was four or five times encouraging her, appreciating her. And it's so interesting. If you compare those two, because you could say that Zechariah, he was not really believing. He had some hard time believing. But Mary was also not really immediately doing what the angel said. She also had questions. And we see in Zechariah's heart a lack of faith, although he was a studied theologian and a priest. And we see, on the other hand, we see in Mary just a lack of knowledge because she was a teenager, an inexperienced teenager. And in the end, what I really appreciate in Mary is her surrender and her passion for God. Because we see in this conversation with the angel, we read in verse 37, one very precious verse. I read 37 and 38. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be, may your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. So I imagine when Luke asked Mary to sit down and that he could take notes for his gospel, I imagine that Mary said, dear Luke, there's one sentence from the angel that I kept in my heart for all those years. It is the word that no word from God will ever fail. And how precious is it if although I have challenges in my life, although many situations are not completely cleared immediately when I pray, sometimes even things get more intense, that I never forget that no word from God ever will fail. Sometimes I have to wait longer because my heart is slow to believe. But Mary had that hope, that she hoped for what God says he will do. And how precious is it if I have that surrender. And Mary, she surrendered her whole body and said, God, I allow you that you use my body, that the Son of God is growing in me. And how precious it would be if we also surrender not only all our body, but our heart, our mind, our hands. And I ask you, what is the thing you want to surrender, God, in this Christmas time now? Is it your feet to go to visit people, to encourage them? Is it maybe your time to listen to people, or to pray for people, to worship God? Maybe you want to surrender your skills to help people and showing them honor and value. Or maybe you want to surrender your finances to support people here in Germany, friends, or people in the church, or other people, especially in this Christmas time. Or maybe you want to surrender something different, maybe your reputation, when you dare to share what you find valuable and precious in the Christmas story and why it's so precious for you. Maybe you risk being laughed at and being scorned because people think you are believing like in a story like Santa Claus. But what is it that you want to surrender to God right now and today? And I want to invite you that you make this now a time of surrender. Like we find in Mary, that surrendered heart that is so precious in the sight of God. Let us surrender something to God because it's an honor. Not just because we get something out of it, because it's an honor to serve God. And let us surrender our hearts and also find practical things that I want to give and surrender to God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this story that we find in the Bibles. And we find two different persons that found hope, although there were so many challenges. And we want to learn from that. In our challenges that we have today or in these days, we want to have hope and know that there is more than my circumstances I feel and see right now. But there is more. You have a plan and an assignment for us. There is something to do for us. And you want to call us this morning that we surrender our whole life, our body, our heart, everything that we have, our wisdom, our reputation, our finances. We want to bring it all to you and surrender it so that it might be useful in your hands to bless others. Amen.